We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 84 of Hogue and Johns. Talk about a desolate number in the history. Not a whole lot of notable 84s to go off of. So we'll call this the Ben Broniker episode. Pride of Harvard, who's still on the Bears and looking to make a jump in year two with the team. This is going to be a little bit different of an episode of Hogue and Johns. I'm Adam Hogue down here in Phoenix, Arizona, where the NFL owners meetings are taking place. And if you listened to our last episode, you know that Johns is not down here. And I can report that the baby did arrive, Marty James Johns. No, he did not name his child after Marty Bennett. It's actually Martin James Johns. But Adam is now going to have three boys running around that house of his. And if you'd like to reach out with your congratulations, hit him up on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. And I do have some things up from Arizona, including some baseball coverage, if you're willing to cross over into something other than football, God forbid. You can find the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, and the WGN Radio app. Seriously, go download that if you haven't already. And as I mentioned, this is going to be a little bit different of an episode of this podcast because we don't have Johns with us. Here's what we're going to do. Today we got to talk to both Ryan Pace and John Fox for an extended period of time down here in Arizona. And instead of just regurgitating everything they said by myself, I figured why not let you hear straight from them. And when I say these are extended interviews, Ryan Pace goes on for 20 minutes and Fox goes on for nearly 45. And I know what you're thinking. 45 minutes of John Fox sounds like the equivalent of a root canal. But you'd be surprised. This is my second year with Fox down here at the owners' meetings, and for the second straight year, it's by far the most relaxed and entertaining conversation we get with him during the entire year. So trust me, this is not just your typical Wednesday news conference with Fox during the season. He talks some legitimate football in here, and I think you'll enjoy it. So here's the deal. We'll start with Ryan Pace because he talks less frequently during the year, and it's also shorter. But once again, this is a podcast, and the beauty of that is that you can skip right ahead about 20 minutes if you'd like to Fox if you want to get straight to him. But here we go. Here's Ryan Pace in Arizona with the Chicago gaggle of reporters, including myself. And we started off by asking about DeAndre Hall, who was arrested in Iowa last weekend.
Yeah, we're aware of it. You know, it's kind of gathering more information as we speak. I mean, it's just the circumstances are a little disappointing, Moon, to be honest with you. But we're aware of it, and it's just kind of gathering more facts as we go forward.
Right, have you talked to DeAndre on it?
I have. I've talked to him. John's talked to him. We got other people working on it. You know, he's back in Lake Forest right now. So it's just one of those deals where you just want to make sure you kind of are thoroughly gathering all the information before you jump to major conclusions. But the circumstances surrounding it are obviously disappointing.
Moving to the quarterbacks, what can you tell us about, you know, why you liked Mark Sanchez, how he fits in to what you envision?
Yeah, so, you know, Mike Glennon's our starting quarterback, and Sanchez I see as a really good, solid number two quarterback. And I like him in this role for a lot of reasons. And, you know, one of them is the experience that he has. He's, you know, been through the highs and lows in our league. You know, he's played in some big markets. You know, he's dealt with challenges. He's dealt with success. I think he's the kind of player that exudes confidence. I like that about him. He's knowledgeable. He's smart. And already him and Mike have already kind of clicked, you know, and they're together and they're, you know, organizing workouts on their own. And those things are important, you know. And I think we've talked about it before. There's no more important room than the quarterback room. And we put a lot of thought to how that room blends together. And especially with a number two position, you know, obviously we're evaluating the physical traits and what they can do physically, but how they fit in as teammates, how they help each other, how they support each other. Because I think, you know, we've all seen really good rooms that are better as a whole because of the people in there, and maybe some rooms that don't click well together. And I think we've created an environment, not only with him, but also with Connor Shaw, where it's a room that can really click together and make each other better.
Last year, you guys added the Hoyer after the draft. So why move on Mark as early as you guys did?
It was honestly, it was just kind of where the market was going. So I don't, I think if we waited much longer, he wouldn't have been available. So, and you know, we brought him in and visited him. We had some important questions to kind of know where his mindset was, and because I had never met him personally like that. And you know, over the course of that visit, it became very evident that he would mesh well with Mike Glennon and fit really well in the room. So we're excited about it.
Well, you've talked about competition at almost every position. Yet in this case, you're saying this is your starter. Will there be competition?
I think, you know,
the position, you don't want to have competition.
Well, I know. I think it's good for them to always be pushing each other. You know, so there's competition, but you know, McGlennon's our starter. You know, and I think, but that doesn't mean that they're not pushing each other throughout practice. And you know, and I think, and that goes with Connor Shaw too. So those guys are all competitive guys. We wouldn't want them if they weren't competitive. And I just think it's a healthy competition.
When I talked about wanting the right environment for a quarterback to step into whenever you do draft one.
Mm-hmm.
Does Sanchez, you talk about the room, about him making the room better. Does that prime the pump a little better for putting, you know, if you do draft a quarterback, putting him in a good situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, we're gonna draft the best players available, you know, wherever that may be. And if it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback, but we're going to take the best players available. I think now, you know, cause some of those things are unforeseen. You know, you can't predict some of those things. But right now, I like the way Sanchez blends with Glennon and with Connor Shaw.
Brian, so. What did you learn about him in your visit with him, about where his mindset is, what his makeup is, and what he'll bring?
You're talking about with Mark?
With Mark.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just that, hey, you know, he talked about the different experiences that he's had and kind of what he's gained from each one of those. You know, he's been, you know, think about, you know, L.A., USC, and yeah. In New York and Philly, and he's been in Dallas. And you know, I thought in Dallas this year, you know, he dealt with a kind of a unique situation with their quarterbacks, and I thought he handled it really very well. And you know, we've talked to a lot of people about him around the league and heard a lot of great things, and when he was with us, he just confirmed a lot of those things, you know, just kind of, you know, where he's at this point in his career and his maturity level and some of the knowledge that he has that he can pull from the past to help Mike, you know, because you think about Mike's still a young player, you know. Mike's a young player coming into a starting role in a big market, and Sanchez has done that, you know. So I think having some of those experiences is going to help behind the scenes.
You know? When you signed Glennon, you talked about him being in the same division and all that. When did you first start really looking at him? Did you talk to the Bucks about him at all last year?
Yeah, you know, so we I've liked Glennon since college, Brad, so that goes back to then, and we would talk about him all the time in New Orleans, like, obviously through the draft process, but also, hey, was there ever an avenue to trade for this player? And honestly, those conversations with me continued when I got to Chicago, you know, just because he has a lot of the traits that we value, you know, and it just never lined up. And just never, you know, you're talking to clubs all the time about different scenarios. That goes on probably more than people realize, you know, throughout the season and in the off season, but it just never materialized. And then, you know, here he is. He's a free agent and a guy that I've had a lot of conviction on for a long time, and the stars just kind of all aligned for us to get him here this year.
So did you have real informal talks with the Bucks a year ago when it looked like if they got the right offer, they would have traded?
It wasn't like formal, but you know, me and Jason Light and I know each other well, so those, we would talk about not just Mike but other players on each other's teams, but we would talk about Mike on occasion, you know, it just never materialized.
His touchdown to interception ratio, like 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in that part of his game? His ability to protect the ball.
Yeah, he's and as you guys get to know him, you'll sense this. He's very intelligent. He studies a ton of tape. You know, he's a really hard worker. So, and you can feel those things. And he's really good at processing the field and seeing information quickly. You know, I think we talk about the traits we value in a quarterback, whether it's, you know, arm strength or release quickness or accuracy, but you guys all know the ability to process and go through your progressions quickly and identify coverages, and some guys just think quicker than others. And I think that he can process information quickly and make the right decisions with the football. And sometimes that might mean the check down or throwing it away when necessary. That's okay, you know.
Ryan, did you
you have any interest or just curiosity about Colin Kaepernick? And irrespective of that, why do you think he's inside?
You know, we looked at every single quarterback that was available, and to us it just came down to the skill sets that we value. You know, so that was for us, honestly, Hub was just more of a skill set evaluation. And I kind of liked the group that we formed, you know, with these three quarterbacks. So that was us personally, just evaluating a skill set. But to comment on why he's still out there, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody's doing their own homework on that. But for us, I like the room that we have, you know.
Do you think the off-the-field stuff's a problem for him?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think you'd have to really, you know, each club will do their due diligence and bring him in and talk to him and go through that. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's more, you know, really when you're looking at these quarterbacks, it's so thorough, you know, and you're watching every single snap and how they fit in your offense, how they fit into your quarterback room, as we talked about with Sanchez. And I like the way our guys all kind of fit together right now.
Since the last time we talked to you, you signed a couple corners that seem to be positioned to play a lot for you. What do you like about both guys? What do you feel like you've accomplished in that position group?
Yeah, well, in free agency in general, I feel like we've signed a lot of players. I mean, I think it's either us or San Francisco. Most signings in the league, you know, and I like that, you know, hey, honestly, we had a lot of needs, and I think by spreading it out like this, you know, that's kind of the shotgun approach I like to take sometimes instead of putting all your eggs just in one basket. I kind of like what we've done, you know, and there's different qualities I like with each one of these guys. As a free agent class in general, I really like the makeup and the character and the intelligence and the intangibles of the class. But to get into their specifics, Prince is just Prince Amakimura. He's just kind of that veteran, savvy, consistent pro, you know. And sometimes there's a lot of hidden production from him because he's got his guy covered, and they just don't throw at him, you know. So you might not see, you know, a lot of, you know, interceptions, but I think he's got his guy covered, and they're going in a different direction a lot of times. And then Cooper's a raw player that still I think he's still ascending. You know, he didn't play corner till late in college. And when you watch him each year, he's gotten better and better the more he's gotten opportunities. And he has really natural ball skills. It's very easy for him to make a play on the ball. He has a great ability when he's playing off to read the quarterback but still have vision on the receiver. Some guys can't do that. And he can do that, and he can time his breaks up well and makes a lot of plays on the ball. They're both really intelligent football players, too, that can anticipate route concepts and think of things pre-snap that I think can help because, you know, obviously you guys know we're pretty young on defense. That kind of experience is valuable.
The way you're doing this, you're kind of, there's a lot of short-term prove-it contracts, not a whole lot of money tied up, you know, 3-4 years down the road. Is it kind of safe to say that you're just sort of buying time while you continue to build through the draft?
Building through the draft is the primary way we want to do this. I think with these contracts that you reference, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just the way it works out, too, with the agent. You know, there's two sides to it, but it gives us roster flexibility too, you know. And let's just say now, you know, we always say the best form of free agency is re-signing your own players because you know the most about those guys. You know the strengths and weaknesses and the personalities. Well, with some of these shorter deals, you know, we have some time to evaluate some of those things, and then now we'll be in a position where, you know, hopefully, if we'd like to extend somebody, we could. But we'll know a lot more about that player at that point.
Cooper. Did you get feedback from Ed and Vic? And obviously they had him a short time. And what did they tell you?
Yeah, because they were with him, obviously, through the whole draft process and everything, all their experiences with him leading into that draft. And then they were with him when they drafted him, you know. So it's good, you know. We try to tie in some of these acquisitions to coaches that we know that know the players. It helps a lot, you know. This college process that we go through, you guys know how extensive it is. All the interviews and all the visits and all the visiting house hall, going to their pro days, the combine. Well, pro free agency, and the way some of these deals happen so fast, you know, you don't get interaction with these guys. So it's important to have connections to these players. And in this case, Vic and Ed drafting him, it was valuable.
What did they tell you about him?
Just his professionalism and his work ethic and his mindset, and then the fact that he's still going to be an ascending player. Like, they feel like Arrow's still up on him, based on kind of his history when you look at it.
Where's Trevathan at?
So all these guys are rehabbing aggressively, you know, and so, you know, we touch base with them on their progress, and Nate Bresky's in touch with it, but he's progressing. They're all working hard. We're happy kind of where the direction that it's heading. But to sit here and say, okay, he's ahead or behind, or it's too early. And I think, Brad, when they all get back here in April, we'll have a better bead for it. But right now we're happy just – with Nate communicating with them kind of where we're at. The last thing, and this is one thing I've learned, man, if I start giving timelines on these injuries, I'm going to paint myself in a corner. But I feel good about how hard and aggressive everybody's rehabbing and where their attitudes are.
How is Fuller rehabbing? What is his role for you guys?
Good. He's rehabbing down here in Phoenix. Honestly, when he comes back and I know he feels this way too, we're going to want to see progress, you know. We're going to want to see him moving like I know he can move, you know. And last season was frustrating for him and frustrating for us. But I'm optimistic and hopeful that, you know, he's going to have done the right things this offseason to show progress.
Did he have a second scope then?
Fuller? No, not that I'm aware of. No, no.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So he's still rehabbing from August.
I wouldn't call it rehabbing. That might be too. It's more of just strengthening and all those. Yeah, getting your confidence back. All that. Yeah.
So just to switch over to the draft a little bit too, because we won't see it until the day before. Mm-hmm. When you've had picks before, like at 7 or 11, you'll have a portfolio of picks. You think of guys that could be taken at that spot. At 3, how long a list, or how will you prioritize, or
yeah, you know, we have we'll have an elite group of names that, you know, we're confident that'll be there, you know, three names, you know, yeah. But beyond that, okay, this draft, there's some pretty good depth in this draft too. So are there scenarios, and it's easier said than done, where we can trade back, you know, and that those things will be discussed too. So
you just have like bands of guys. These guys could be from 5 to 10. These guys could be in a certain
exactly area. Yeah, and then kind of what in our minds, based on the talent of those bands, what it would require for us to go back, you know. So those things are all being talked about now and kind of studied now, and we'll keep on fine tuning it. But you got to have a partner willing to do that with too, you know. So that's part of.
Has anyone called about 3 yet?
I mean, it hasn't gotten to that point yet, but I think we're a month away now, so I think those things start picking up right now.
Brian, assuming that everything works out with Paul, with the free agent corners, does this possibly move Paul or even Fuller over to safety?
Yeah, we've talked about that. We've talked about that with DeAndre playing some safety, and he did it in college, as you guys know. And one of DeAndre's best traits is his ball skills and his ball clock, like the ability to time the pass breakup. And he's very natural at playing safety. And that's one of the reasons why we drafted him, is because he's had the versatility to do both. So that's something that we're going to talk about this offseason, and he could start taking some reps there in the offseason program.
Is Kyle Strickley at corner still? Or?
Yeah, Kyle Strickley at corner right now. Yeah.
Was his skill set work inside in the slot if he's pushed there, or do you still want him outside?
I think he's better outside, and then it's a potential move to safety too. Yeah.
With Alshon gone, how do you fill the void at that number one receiver spot? And I guess in addition to that, with Cam, obviously the growth that he's shown his 2 seasons, where do you see him going?
I'm excited about Cam. You know, I just feel like you just see him getting better and better, and no different than how we talked about Marcus Cooper. You know, Cam's the guy with a lot of upside, kind of the path that he took, and just to see him mature over the last couple of years and his, you know, I hate to make comparisons, but, you know, I felt like I saw this happen with Colston a little bit, you know, and Cam just has a great attitude right now, and he's getting better, and I love his skill set and love his professionalism, and so I think we're going to see him ascend, you know. And then, and Kevin, you know, Kevin's going to have to step up, you know, and stay healthy, and he knows that, and he's motivated, and, you know, we're excited about a handful of guys, you know, and we still have a draft ahead of us too, so.
What do you like in Cam's skill set that you've seen develop?
So as a route runner, he's gotten a lot better. He's for a guy that's his size, he's great in and out of his breaks. Really good sudden route runner, and he's got great catching radius, and he's got really great body control. So when the ball's not, you know, on target, he can adjust with his length and make difficult catches in close coverage. But what's always stood out to me with Cam is, for a big guy like that, his ability to run sudden routes and set guys up and separate is impressive for a guy of that size.
How do you look at Kevin? You mentioned he has to prove he can stay healthy, but his injuries have been broken bones. It's not like he's got a chronic knee.
I know.
As you're setting up your roster, you say, well, you know what, he's due. I mean, you saw some like Mark Colombo shake off, those kind of things that come back.
I think, you know, you're always trying to protect yourself with adding depth, but with Kevin, you're right. It's not like the good thing about it, Moon, you're right, it's not like it's a degenerative knee or something. Right. It's these random freak things, you know. And I think knowing his work ethic and his approach and his support system, like I know he's going to come back ready to go, you know, and we just got to, you know, he's just got to shake off that some of that bad luck.
I mean, look at him and say, this can't continue. He has to have some good luck now and just penciling that.
I'm glass half full. I'm optimistic. I mean, but I'm also mindful and responsible about creating the right depth. But I think I'm excited about his upcoming season. I'm excited about where he's at right now, where his mindset's at right now. And it'll be exciting to see that go forward.
With Kyle Long and continuing to sort of work back, you've gotten to know him, and you know how restless he can get mm-hmm. when he's not on a routine like that. Do you sense that this is a particularly challenging stretch as he tries to, you know, get back into football shape?
Yeah.
When he's not in this routine and he's not necessarily he's part of the offseason.
Yeah, because he's such a high-energy guy, you know, and I think what's good about it is, you know, we talked about the postseason. It was really basically the ankle surgery. Unfortunately, we came to the conclusion that he really didn't need the shoulder. So I think that helps a lot. You know, for a player like that to have two surgeries in an offseason is challenging. But for him just to deal with the ankle, I think that was kind of a relief, you know, for him. And he's making a lot of genetically, he's a freak, so he's progressing very well.
You know? Mentally for him, do you have any sense of his ability to sort of stay that course without being in the normal mix of a healthy player?
Yeah, I do. And I think because the support crew he has around him too, his dad, his brother, his agent, you know, us, you know, like he's one of the guys who's probably the best at, you know, we're in constant communication, always know what's going on, you know, and I have no concerns about where he's at. So.
Leonard, year two, what do you see as his big sort of hurdles as he heads into the second year?
So, you know, obviously he's naturally going to continue to get stronger, you know, and more durable, I think, will come with added strength. And then I think he's going to continue to refine his pass rush technique. You know, right now, you know, that first year, it's just kind of raw speed and raw talent. But I think as he gets better with his pass rush moves, using his hands, developing counters, I think the sky's the limit because he's got everything you need physically. And he's got the work ethic to learn all that. So I think dialing in some of his pass rush traits are going to help a lot.
You guys have talked after the season about taking a look at everything you do in the offseason in terms of injuries and injury prevention. Have there been any tweaks to that made?
We have, yeah. It's a good question. You know, we've met in multiple times with a lot of people, and those are good discussions when everybody kind of lets down their guard and we just kind of put everything on the table, you know. And I value when people do that, you know. We have made some tweaks and some adjustments, and you know, without going into specifics, but it could be some scheduling things, it could be some training camp things, things we're doing in the weight room, things we're doing in the training room, you know, just dialing things in to adapt, you know, and not just put our heads in the sand and say, oh, bad luck, you know. Let's see, we've made some adjustments and tweaks that we're all supportive of, and we all had input on, and we're excited about, you know, the outcome of that.
Is it a matter of less time spent doing things, or just doing it smarter? Or
I think a little like some just being, you know, we wear these catapult tracking devices now, and so you know, a couple years into that, we're able to kind of implement that knowledge a little bit more to our coaches. You know, year one, you give a coach a 5-page report on catapult data. It's now we streamline it down. Now here's a 1-pager on kind of what we're looking at and knowing when to back on or back off certain players. Finding their optimal training loads, and some guys are different. You know, some guys can go all day. Some guys we got to be more mindful of. Even in training camp, it's understanding when, you know, we have a high intensity day, and then hey, we're going to back off this day, and that's a long term plan. Because the goal is to peak week one. You know, not peak in the middle of training camp. So you're building the team to be at their absolute, you know, highest state week one, and that's our goal. And I think I feel good about where we're at with that right now. We got a lot of good people between Nate, Jason George, and Jen Gibson, and then coaches, you know, starting with Coach Fox, that are willing to listen to input and adapt and be flexible on things. And I appreciate that because that can be difficult for some guys.
So there's Bears general manager Ryan Pace. You got a chance to hear what he had to say about Mark Sanchez, which I think was pretty much what Johns and I laid out in last week's episode. That was the night the Bears actually signed Sanchez. I guess in terms of interesting news, moving DeAndre Hall to safety seems significant and also understandable considering they signed Prince Amukamara and Marcus Cooper to compete with Tracy Porter and Kyle Fuller on the outside. And chances are they'll probably add to that corner position in the draft as well. Hall played safety in college. And as you heard Pace say in that interview, they really like how he tracks down the football. So that certainly gives us an interesting storyline for the offseason, assuming Hall takes care of his legal issues, which sounds like he will. The arrest is something John Fox also addressed. In fact, he went in even more detail about it because he, well, they both talked to him, but he had an extended conversation and shared some of that with us about what Fox and Hall talked about after his arrest over the weekend. That's part of this very lengthy chat we had with the Bears head coach in Phoenix. Again, this is almost 45 minutes, believe it or not, but it's as loose as you'll hear Fox all year. So take a listen and enjoy.
I haven't talked to you since you got a new quarterback.
Right.
What do you like about Mike? What attracted you to him throughout the whole process, really?
Well, I actually kind of go pretty far back. I was in North Carolina when he was playing, actually was exposed to two guys there. A good friend of mine was the head coach at NC State, and both Russell Wilson and Mike Glennon were coming through during that period of time. So I got exposed to them, really even watching games and kind of following them and obviously evaluating both of them coming out. They were different schools then, but so I had a high opinion of them then. And then really, he was talked about a little bit even before this year. As a potential guy to get. And then this year, being free without any kind of compensation, we dove in pretty good and feel good about it.
What about his skill set?
He's. I think some people talk about his obviously his height. Like when I was in Denver, we had a 6'6" and a 6'7" quarterback. So I actually kind of like a taller guy. I think Mike's a little more athletic than people give him credit for, just because he's tall. He's accurate, make all the throws, strong arm, and a really good guy. All the research we had has been very positive from a lot of people I respect.
This will be the first time that he'll go into a season as the proclaimed starter.
Right.
What's the hurdle for a guy like that in terms of just being?
No different than the first time for anything for anybody. I think. It's a leap of faith, to some degree, but I think you do that, in a lot of different positions and evaluation of personnel and people. So, the big thing with him is he has been in NFL football games. He has been around a lot of systems, around a lot of different players and personalities, and I think handled it well.
You have the reputation for being a player's coach and having good relationships with those guys. Surprised that Jeffrey didn't work out the way it did, and just getting to know him.
I wish Allison had the butt the best, and never had any issues. I'm talking about just our relationship. It's a business, and sometimes it comes down to opportunity and even contracts. In some instances, so wish him nothing but the best. I appreciate the efforts he gave me personally for 2 years and Bears organization.
I don't want to use the word replace, but how do you compensate when you lose a talent like that? How can you compensate?
No different than a lot of decisions. I mean, there was different, there's different things that get said when, a guy like Matt Forte leaves the Bears. You make decisions, based on that leap of faith. And it'll be no different, in this instance.
John, as a head coach, what are the challenges of making such a clear change in the quarterback position, just in terms of selling the rest of the locker room or things like that when you make a change like this?
Well, I think guys earn that. I think individual players do. How guys prepare, what they do. Mike's already contacted a lot of our skilled people about, getting together and throwing and, getting more acclimated to the offense and, those are things they have to do all on their own. Just kind of the guys' makeup. I think guys, some guys have that it. And, I think, everything I've heard and seen and been around, I feel good about that with Mike.
Are there parallels to the Jake Delhomme acquisition you had earlier in your career here?
You know, it wasn't a big splash, a big name. I mean, he was the backup in New Orleans. Yeah. But we had competed. I'd seen tidbits, way smaller tidbits even than Mike. But there's certain things you look for and evaluate. And from that aspect, you know, he's not this huge name. He's not like getting Peyton Manning. There was just a lot of ifs even on that acquisition.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slam dunk. There was a guy 6 months earlier who didn't know where his arm was when he put it behind his head. It wasn't as automatic as people think. But you do your research, and anytime you're dealing with people, it's a little bit of a crapshoot.
You guys had so many injuries last year. Mm-hmm. Tried not to make an excuse of it. Can you outline any changes you've made in an effort to?
Yeah, I think, really, Brad, you do everything. Every season as far as evaluation, whether it's of your staff, whether it's of statistics, whether it's, there's so many things to research. Obviously, the injuries are something that, we've looked very hard. To be really quite honest with you, we had some injury issues even in the first year. They were a little bit more soft tissue, a little bit more practice-oriented. We did a lot to improve the fields. We did a lot to improve how we practice. We actually did a lot more adjustments, and then this year it actually got worse. We kind of go back to the drawing board, and our league does the research. We do it. So we've done quite a few things that we've looked at, and it's been a collaboration of, whether it's the strength coaches, assistant coaches, practice techniques, which we actually dropped our injuries in practice this year, but we got more catastrophic injuries in games this year. Broke leg, broke, arm, broken bones. But you still evaluate it and do everything in your power to try to correct it.
Any idea how to cut down the high ankle sprains, which were?
Again, there's a lot of shoe research, a lot of helmet research. We spend a lot of time in these meetings. Tape, no tape. There's different devices that you can wear, maybe other than tape. There's some theories out there by taping your lower ankle when there is a forcible blow, it can affect the high ankle because something's got to give. So there's just a lot of different things that we're looking at. Educate our players and hopefully turn the tide.
When it's come to practice, you've said a bunch of times to us, like, in order to play football, you got to practice football.
Yes, yeah.
When you look back at training camp a year ago and then ahead to training camp this coming year, what did you see in that reflection in terms of the intensity, sort of what you wanted to build towards with the rigor and how strenuous some of those?
Well, a couple of the things we've done, really dealing with some of our sports science people is, kind of more of a 2 days on and then a soft day. So, actually having time to recover. We're not going to work against anybody this year. Just because from a scheduling standpoint, you're not at camp near as long as you used to be. I'm not going to get into, because we've all talked about, we've gone from 16 to 15 to now 9 weeks of off season, and then we do something that's a little different in any sport. You take a 6-week vacation and then start your season. So just kind of adjusting the science of that, how to deal with it, how to best utilize it. Back to the camp, we're not, we're breaking before the second game now instead of used to be before the third game, so you're not as camp as long. And then, if you travel to work against somebody, you're uprooting, you're getting out of routine, you're getting out of your recovery system. You are traveling, and that's proven to be a little bit hazardous to your health. Albeit part of football, if you don't have to do it, then avoid it. So even to that point.
Mm-hmm. John, we do, to put this to Ryan, about naming Mike your starter.
Yep.
Now, you talk about competition everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach, does that apply to, do you not want to have a quarterback competition? Does that
I think, call it what you want, but, you're always pushing the guy in front of you, and you want to build that type of competition, in the culture of your team. So, you have to start somewhere, and a guy has to feel secure in that. Sometimes that might work against him if you don't make those judgments. But there's no doubt he'll be our starter.
Came back to Mike for a second. You said you do your research on him, and you missed the beginning. When you did your research, what is it about him you like the most?
Well, I think, you know, whether it's game opportunities or even, you know, just how guys prepare. I mean, we have a slogan in our building, you know, you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. You know, and at the quarterback position, that's a, you know, decision-making is critical, you know. You know, part of the reason, not the whole reason, but part of the reason, you know, a team can have a poor record like we did is, I mean, we had three different quarterbacks win games for us this year in our three wins. There's not a whole lot of teams in the league that go through that have success. You know, that's over a 16-game regular season schedule. In Mike's case, you know, I think he's been steady, he's been consistent. He just hadn't had a lot of opportunity. But everybody that, you know, I've known that's been around him both in college football as well as pro football, you know, people that I respect and know pretty well, feel really good about him moving forward.
John, you had significant changes on your staff this offseason. What kind of period of adjustment will that be for you?
You know, I think, you know, we brought a whole new staff here 2 years ago. You know, I think, you know, anytime things are new, but, you know, some of these were, you know, and every assistant coach different. Some guys go on one-year deals. Some guys sign multi-year deals. You know, at the end of the day, just like on a football team, the players, you know, they're going to change. You don't stay the same. But, you know, we feel like we've hired really good coaches and think we've improved there, just like, you know, every single move we've made on the roster right now. You know, the plan is that we've gotten better.
John, getting back to the medical thing a little bit, you've been doing this for a while. Have you ever had changes? Is this the most drastic of the changes from year to year for you guys? And how have you learned over the years to change your approach with the game changing too?
Well, I think, you know, and again, it's not going to change, but what has changed is I think you know, some of the off-season rules are starting to catch up. You know, I think some of the rules in college football are starting to catch up as far as the NCAA work week. The game's getting bigger, stronger, faster amongst all that. So, you know, some of it's the design of it, but it's not going to change for a bit now, I think 4 years. So you have to learn to deal with it. And so I think that's the adjustment that I know for me personally that we've worked on.
And is this the biggest adjustment you've made in an offseason?
Not really. Like I said, we made a lot of adjustments from our first year here to this year. So you're, you know, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whether it's techniques, trends of the game, strategy, a lot of things change.
And you said you won't play a team in the preseason this year?
No.
Or you won't in camp?
No.
Is it difficult to place expectations on Kevin White this year?
You know, I think when you do this for a living, I don't think anybody has higher expectations than you, yourself. And I'd include Kevin in that. So I can't tell you everybody on the planet's expectations, but yeah, I know they won't be greater than his.
John, knowing him the way you do, obviously it's a very unique situation to be a top 10 pick, to be wired to succeed like he is and driven, right, and to have to wait essentially 2.5 years to get that opportunity. How do you sense that he can channel that in the right direction and not let the impatience take over?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, it's not a great start for his career. I think he understands that greater than anybody because he's been the one that had to deal with it. And those were, you know, especially the first one was very serious and it was extensive. You know, virtually lost his whole rookie season. You know, and then, you know, he was just kind of getting back into form and unfortunately, you know, had the other lower leg or other bone in your lower leg injury. So I'm sure it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating for, you know, anytime anybody's injured, it's frustrating for everybody, whether it's fans, the organization, the coaches, the player himself. But I think, you know, he's a very resilient guy. You know, one of the big reasons why we drafted him, I think his makeup, you know, will prevail.
You think you see a big jump year one to year two for Leonard, who did some really exciting things
as a rookie, and but at the same time looked a little, you know, raw. You could see he was a rookie. Do you really see him?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think so. You know, I think and with all of us, I think in year one of any job you do, you know, there's a learning curve there and an adjustment. The one thing that I've seen over years is, which is unique about Jordan Howard, is, you know, people talk about the rookie wall, and really what that is, I think I've mentioned this to you guys before, but, I mean, basically you're going from training for the mile your whole career, and now you're going to the 2 mile, and you haven't experienced it yet. And that wall is, if you've ever run any distance, there is a wall there when you all of a sudden, you know, they say, okay, now you're going another mile here. You thought it was only going to be 1 mile. Well, you know, you play a 12 or 13 game schedule, and now you go to a 20 to 24 game schedule. It's a big leap. So it takes a year to, in my opinion, to really maximize that just from a physical standpoint.
When you look at your defense now, zoomed out, you mm-hmm. know, gone through 3 weeks of free agency, mm-hmm. on paper, at least how the roster stacks, what do you see? Where do you think you guys are better, and how can you?
Well, I think one of the areas that, you know, we spent 2 years basically flipping this roster. And I've mentioned this before, and, you know, from the oldest roster in the National Football League to now one of the top five youngest. And check the stats, I might not be exactly right on that, but you know, we've been subtracting. I mean, even last year with, you know, changing guys out like Matt Forte and Robbie Gould, even that's erasing. So now, finally, I think we're in a position where we can add. Not that we've not added anybody over 2 years with the draft or free agency, but you know, when I said we're finally in striking distance, you know, I think some of the acquisitions we've made this offseason already in free agency, we've addressed our secondary, really hadn't done much from that standpoint prior to, whether it was in free agency or really, you know, currency in the draft. You know, I think those are areas that, you know, we're not done yet, you know.
If you had your choice, it's a freebie, you can pick any one spot. What's the one unit or the one place on the team right now where you'd like to most address adding more competition?
Well, I think, you know, really skill spots. You know, I think, you know, a guy that nobody's really talked about much is a guy like Deion Sims at tight end. You know, we lost, you know, a proven tight end last year in the offseason and really didn't address it, you know, whether it be in the draft or not. Something that we did early on this year with Deion, and that, you know, a real wide tight end, a guy that can block, a guy athletic enough and has good enough hands to be a threat in the passing game. You know, regardless of who your quarterback is, you have to have some playmakers around, whether it's third down or, you know, we had a lot of explosive plays, so by design what we're doing is good, but, you know, we didn't get any long touchdowns, you know, and those, you know, those are critical in close games. You know, I don't know if you guys heard a lot about from the league, but, you know, this has been the smallest margin of victory in our league for quite some time, and we were in a lot of those games, whether it was 2 years ago or this year. Well, how that happens is in the fourth quarter, you have to have guys that make plays, whether it's on the defensive side, offensive side, in the return game. So you need some of those types of playmakers and explosiveness to do that. So I'd say, you know, the wideout position, you know, I think one of the pluses of last year is, you know, some critical areas. You know, we were sixth in the league per rush. A stat we keep is, you know, we keep yards after contact for our backs and people with the ball, but we also keep track of yards before contact. I think we were second in the league in that. You know, so our O-line has improved. You know, we were eighth in the league in sacks per pass. All right, I'm not saying we were a passing juggernaut, but you know, pass protection was much improved. So those are areas that I think are pretty good. I've got the offense yet, or defense yet, but in the passing game, getting more explosive plays as far as the result in touchdowns, you know, and the execution in those areas, I think people that can make those things happen.
Ryan said that you guys both talked to DeAndre the last mm-hmm. couple of days. What's the message from you to him?
Well, I mean, you know, anytime you see something that, or you get that phone call from your security people, obviously very disappointing. you know, it puts us all in a bad light. But we're still sorting through the information. That's where it is.
What was his message to you?
You know, again, like most people that make mistakes and they're remorseful, as I talk to people all the time, I mean, look, you try to not make mistakes, but the reality is you do make them. We all do. First thing is you got to admit it. And so he was very humble and, regretful, all right, in that decision or that mistake. Then you got to try to, eliminate it and do everything you can not to let it happen again. And only time tells that.
Ryan also said that you've been thinking about playing him at safety or getting mm-hmm. him to work there. How can he help you making that switch?
Well, I think, DeAndre's has all the size capabilities. He does have good ball skills. I think he's a smart football player, has good eyes. And I just think with the way our roster is right now, it's probably the best spot for him to start the 2017 season.
You've seen Marcus Wheaton, obviously a new guy who comes mm-hmm. in, adds a little different dimension. What intrigues you about what he offers?
Well, I think, some of that explosiveness I'm talking about, he has. I think he's a really good teammate. He's first in, first out kind of mindset, in the preparation. Unfortunately for him, he got hurt last year. He got mostly slot work 2 years ago. He was a guy we had good grades on coming out. And he was a good value for what we think his ability is.
When you have so many new, I think you guys have 11 new faces in mm-hmm. free agency that you've added to the team. How long does it take you as a coach to get a full feel for that big of a group of new faces and what they
well,
are?
Well, I think it takes, great discipline, to not jump out for big names and, we've said it many times. I mean, we really think you build through the draft. I think you can help yourself in free agency in different ways. My experience has been people and have some kind of experience or past with, are kind of important. And most of the guys we've signed, there's been that element, not 100%, but 80%.
How quickly do you know what you have in those guys? When do you usually feel that?
You never really know until you go on the date. But I think, and then it's not usually the first date. All right, but until you really get them in there,
keep going with this. Keep going with the metaphor.
Thought you guys might relate. But you have it's like everything. I mean, you have a pretty good idea because of that knowledge that you have. And it may not be everybody in the building, but somebody has some kind of exposure and what kind of guys they are. And believe it or not, for a 3-13 team, we really do have a good locker room and a good culture. Now it's just a matter of getting better.
Is there? You self-scouted at the end of last year, and we talked about run-pass ratio, not just mm-hmm. isolated on that, but you just ran through a number of the things, how good you were running the football. Mm-hmm. As you backed away from it and self-scouted when it was all done, were there philosophical things that you didn't, we should have run the ball more, we blitzed too much, were there things you spotted in that weren't the way the team, a team that you want to coach would operate it?
Well, the real reality is we didn't have a lead enough, all right? And so when you play from behind versus you play from ahead, we are in a timed game. It's not innings. There's a time element to a game. It's like playing catch up, and it's not the ideal position to be in. Really, that's been a big factor. We were last or tied for last in the league in turnover ratio. I don't care how talented you are, that doesn't work. Part of that is when you're playing from behind, you take more risk and sometimes they bite you. So, really it's just we have to start better, start faster, and do better, get the lead. And I think you kind of get that when you get better.
Is there an emphasis for Leonard to come in stronger, or is that?
A lot was made of his weight, probably too much. I think maybe somebody said it and it kind of snowballed. This league's about playing strength. You know, it's not just size. But he didn't have an issue with playing strength. You know, like I said before, you know, he's going to develop. I mean, he's a professional athlete now. He's not going to biology or, you know, social science or whatever course load you take now. He's going to train year-round now. Really curious to see him when he gets back, when we can see him again, which is not too far off now. But we expect all these guys to grow and mature, whether it's just as young men and physically.
With your pass rush overall, mm-hmm. I think sacks per pass attempt was mm-hmm. high up there.
Yep.
But you guys don't have the interception production on the back end with it come together. What do you think overall of that area of the team, where it stands? Who you like, but maybe what else you also?
I think we're a finished product by any stretch. I think it's an area that I've always been of the belief that the best pass defense is pass rush. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different coverages. There's a lot of different schemes. But at the end of the day, when you're putting pressure on the quarterback, and not just sacks, pressure in the quarterback, put stress on him to make errors. I think we still need to improve in that area. I think we have improved, but we still need to improve.
It seems like with Leonard, the bigger concern is weight now, maybe two concussions as a rookie. Is there anything as coaches or as an organization you guys can do to, I know you can't prevent it, but to prepare for it?
You can.
Look at it as a concern?
No, it's definitely. I think in Leonard's case, in college football, they don't have the restrictions we have as far as when you can practice in pads or not. I think with Leonard, we just have to create more tackling drills without pads because we do have restrictions on how much we can go in pads. So we don't live tackle as much as they do in college. So with him in both of his concussions were, dropping his head and actually running into our own people. In fact, it was the same guy, mm-hmm. right? And he's not going to win that one. So it's more habits, skill set. So, I think, that's, again, part of the injury thing. It's something that we're going to do a better job of as coaches.
So you'll have to kind of consciously watch him more closely now that you've seen it happen?
Well, I was just training him not to drop his head.
Right. But even if it doesn't happen from dropping his head, it seems around the league like some of these guys, when they have multiple concussions, that they come quicker.
I think they're different types. Mm-hmm. And, again, I don't want to profess myself as a doctor, all right, but just watching football for a long time, whenever you drop your head – and you basically concuss your spinal cord. It's not safe, good football. You wouldn't teach your 11-year-old kid to tackle that way. And again, it's just building habits. And we need to do a better job.
This is kind of a bigger picture question, but when you took this job, it all kind of came together really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You allowed yourself to kind of sit back after 2 years and say, "Oh, this is." Maybe not where I thought we would be, or maybe it is. Was this a bigger rebuild than you thought it would be when you took that job?
You do always look back. Obviously, there's always things that, in hindsight, you would change. I think all of us sitting here would look back and things we've done and consider that. Really, at the end of the day, it's kind of been what I thought it would be, other than, I would have thought we'd have done better to this point. But I kind of still feel really positive and encouraged where we're heading. I just saw it happening a little bit faster.
What gives you the encouragement?
Well, I think, as you reflect back and you understand this league, there's not too many teams that, other than if they have the eraser, are really consistently good. This league is like this every year. If you just look back a year ago, the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC played in a championship game. They dropped. The Dallas Cowboys were 4-12. think they were 13-3 this year. So it can fluctuate very quickly and very fast, and you know, I'm encouraged.
When you guys brought Ruben Randall in after you decided to leave for your end, what appealed to you guys about him?
Again, you like visiting people and talking to them. I think, again, there's some kind of experience with them by somebody in our building. And we feel like, you know, it's a plus and a value, all right, to help our football team.
Brian spoke with optimism about Cam's future as a receiver. Mm-hmm. It felt like he really can just see a breakthrough coming. Obviously, you've seen 2 years, the kind of diamond in the rough guy coming to his own. What's next for him? What's the next step in his life?
You know, just continued improvement. You know, I think, you know, he came in as a college free agent. Actually, was at our local pro day. We stayed in touch with him. You know, it was competitive of getting him even as a college free agent. You know, there's a maturity level, and I think he's grown. And he had opportunities even his rookie season, and he got more opportunities this year, and he took advantage of them. I mean, if you really look at it, he was probably our best receiver this year.
As an old DB's coach, how is safety a different position today than it was 10 years ago?
You know, I think obviously the league has shifted towards passing quite a bit. I think largely because a lot of the rules of the game, you know, for a long time there's been more yards per pass than more yards per rush. I think so because of that, you don't need in many cases a big banger box safety. You know, when I was in the New York Giants in the late 90s, my safeties were 6'3", 220. Right? You know, now people are going no backs. Obviously, it's not going to be a run. Right? So you're covering, you know, specialized backs, specialized tight ends. So you have to be more corner-like to play safety as far as coverability, range. Defending passes way more than runs.
And you guys have been lacking that in 2 years, the coverage ability at safety. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that it's important to get that short up the way the league
is trending? Yeah, I think, you know, that's what's encouraging is, you know, about the striking distance thing I've been telling you is, you know, we can finally address it.
What's your thought about this new hybrid safety linebacker position? Are teams just doing it because they have no choice, or is it kind of a neat new option for a defense?
Well, I think, you know, what's been kind of the trend is speed and speed on defense. You know, the more speed you get, you know, like it's not easy to find a Von Miller, you know, who's 250 pounds and runs 4.5. So you to stay at 4.5, you're having to get smaller people, and there's more of those guys available in later rounds. Typically more in a 4-3 defense where you kind of have a second strong safety or that will linebacker, it's a little bit better fit than, say, in a 3-4 because of the job description. So even saying that, you know, we took Thomas Davis with the, I think, 8th pick in the draft in Carolina. I mean, he was a hybrid safety at Georgia slash – you know, he started off safety, moved to will linebacker, and he's still playing at a high level. But, you know, those type of guys, we drafted him so we had somebody on the field that could catch Mike Vick. You know, when he's scrambling around and we could spy him. But if you're going to spy him, you better have a guy that can catch him. You know, it's a little bit of a trend. It's plus, you're fourth down people. You want speed in those units. You know, and we have guys even on our team because we play so much 4-3 anyways, because you play so much sub-defense or nickel defense, you know, you have to have speed on the field. And we've gotten faster. We're just not there yet.
Are you surprised Cutler doesn't have a team?
You know, I am a little surprised, to be honest with you. You know, look at the guys we played with last year. You know, I know Connor got hurt early, not counting him, but in the regular season, you know, two of those guys have signed. And one of them hasn't. You know, I mean, I can't speak for the whole league, but I'm a bit surprised.
When you look across the league and throughout your career at mid-round, quarterbacks who have succeeded. Mm-hmm. Is there a trait that maybe sticks better for the mid-round type of guy who's maybe not the total package, but a trait you can really work with, a trait that over time seems to rise to the top out of that group of guys who aren't maybe highly touted?
Well, you know, we spend a lot of time measuring, you know, height, weight, hand size, arm length, 40-yard dash, 20-yard dash, 10-yard dash, short shuttle, intelligence off of the Wonderlic, mm-hmm. Personality now. But it's really hard to measure, you know, a guy's leadership ability, a guy's ability to inspire people around him. You know, I think as I look back, this is just me looking at people, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in 28 years. I think if I had to pick a trait, it would be the ability to inspire the people around me.
How do you feel that out? And you can't measure it, and you're just sensing it.
Well, again, you know, you do research, and you know. Russell Wilson, you know, everybody talked about how short he was. Everybody talked about, you know, he can't see, blah, blah, blah. You know, my experience, having watched him for years, was he's going to be successful. You know, you just get, you know, Jake DeLome. I mean, he wasn't the prettiest guy. Bernie Kosar, you know, we were in the division with him forever. You know, Bubby Brister played for us So, anyways, just guys that, you know, have something. You know, Jim McMahon. You know, I don't know, I'm not saying he was probably the most prolific passer in Chicago Bear history, but, you know, I think he inspired his teammates. I'm not saying all the skill set is perfect, but, you know, that's just been my experience. You know, Jake did that very well in my time in Carolina.
It's one of the things. One of the things you like about Sanchez, maybe not the ability to inspire, but the ability to round out that room and to
yeah, I mean, I like his experience. I mean, you're looking at a backup, much like when we signed Brian Hoyer last year. You know, I think Brian, as a backup quarterback, came in and did a good job for us.
How do you get to know him in one day, 2 days, before you decide whether you want?
Well, no, I think there's a history. You know, I mean, I've competed in this league for a long time. Sure, right. You get to know people. You study people. That's what you do for a living. You know, he's been in two AFC championship games. You know, a guy that, you know, that had his time as a starter. You know, went to a club a year ago that, you know, I know their head coach very well. And did a great job, you know, being a good guy and a good teammate. Being in a backup role and helping the starter and a young guy, Dak Prescott.
John, I've been curious for a couple of years. It has nothing to do with you. It was before you got here. But right. Bill Emery told us the tipping point for him on drafting Kyle Fuller was to take him to Georgia Tech game. He played an in-the-box safety and had 3.5 sacks.
Right.
You guys don't seem to have any interest in trying him at safety. I'm curious why that is.
Well, I think, you know, I wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to get him healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't play one snap for us last year. There's reasons for that. And we're trying to rectify that, you know, just to get him where he can play football, you know, and then decide positions. You know, we really had, you know, 1 year, and it wasn't even a full healthy year, you know, a year ago. I mean, he didn't play one regular season snap this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying we won't, mm-hmm. all right, but we need to get him, you know, healthy and physically able to play.
John, one of the silver linings, if there is one, of being 3-13 is you get a top 5 pick.
Yep.
Knowing what this draft class offers, what are your thoughts of what you can come away with that from that first night of the draft with?
I mean, we're going to get some good football players. It's I hate trying to define drafts, but it's a deep draft in many areas of our needs. And so, you know, and that's just not in the first round. You know, that's, you know, we have 7 picks currently, and, you know, we'll have to choose wisely.
What about that top overall pick, though? What do you see there in terms of the elite talent?
Well, I'm not going to.
Not for a name, but in terms of what you can. What
we're going to take this guy. Yeah,
well, no, if you do that, we can just get it out of the way.
Yeah, no. You guys will have fun with it, I'm sure. like I said, I think, you know, it's you know, we'll get to improve, and we still have a lot of work left to do, and I have a lot of confidence in the guys we have making those decisions, and we'll go from there.
Cool. What did you what'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Very entertaining. You know, not all of them are. I've been a part of a couple. one pretty entertaining. You know, like I said, anytime there's a good game, I mean, it was exciting.
You didn't think it was over?
No.
Who was on that?
Well, the difference is, you know, when you've done this for a long time, even at 28-3, you know, they pretty regularly score 28 or more. I mean, it's not like, you know, they're this grind and burn, can't score. And I actually watched the game with a bunch of Patriot fans, and they were ready to commit suicide. I was like,
you talked him off the ledge there?
Well, I wasn't doing a lot of talking. It was deep inside. I was kind of like, yeah. not really. No, but it was, I mean, it was a heck of a game, you know, for, you know, a purist.
What do you think about the way Bill's turning that team over after winning a ring with him? He's kind of ripped things up a little bit in the last month. Belichick.
You know, I think, you know, I mean, look, he's, in at least my career in coaching, you know, he's done it better than anybody has. And, you know, they've done it the right way and with the right kind of people. You know, I don't know that you know, personnel people around the league would say that that's always been the most talented team. I mean, even to look like they have to go in without their starting quarterback first four games. You know, they've done the best job in football probably for some time. You know, my hat's off to it.
Came in, you know, 2+ years ago with Ryan coming in as a rookie GM. Mm-hmm. In this time, what gives you confidence in him, and where have you seen him grow in that role?
Well, going back to, you know, a lot of the changes, you know, I think, you know, we've had a lot of change, and I think we're better for it. Unfortunately, you know, you can't walk around your chest out about that because of our record the last 2 years, but you know, I have total confidence, and I think he's done an outstanding job and will continue to. You know, I understand you have to win, and I finally feel like we're in striking distance.
From your perch, what do you see as his strengths?
Well, his people skills are tremendous. You know, I think his evaluation skills are very good. You know, I think humility is always a great quality in this business. And I've seen that. So, you know, he's the same guy. He hasn't changed. Sometimes people get positions, you know, whatever that position may be, and they change. And, you know, just how some people react. And I haven't seen that.
What are your thoughts on San Diego and Oakland being without a team now?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm a little more tied to San Diego because I grew up there. You know, we went out there and played 2 years ago on a Monday night, and I was like, probably my last trip ever going there, you know, in the NFL. And I played in that stadium in college and then coached as an assistant in the 90s. So, I mean, I've been in that stadium since 1975. Same locker room, same parking lot, same Friars Road entrance.
That was the problem.
hey, we won a lot of games. You know, so, you know, obviously, you know, I have some history there. So, you know, I never liked that for really the people of San Diego. And, you know, as far as Oakland, you know, I was with the Raiders both in Oakland and L.A. You know, I know how passionate their fans are, so, you know, that's rough. But it is a business, and, you know, it's a little above my pay grade, but, you know, people are going to go where they think is best for them.
Okay, so if you made it this far, you are certainly one of the diehard listeners of Hogue and Johns, and we certainly appreciate you for that. Johns will be back in our next episode as we look back on the owners meetings, but really it's time to start looking ahead to the NFL draft and really start diving into it as April is officially here, basically. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find it on the TuneIn app. Find it on the WGN Radio app by downloading it on the App Store. Please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. We appreciate you doing that. We love you guys. Right back. See everybody in episode 85.